This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. Coming up, our guest tells us how scientists are trying to get a handle on the ethical questions surrounding the emerging technology of gene editing.
First, when you think about a tragedy like gun violence, the cost can seem impossible to quantify, to put a number on. How do you place a dollar amount on a lost life, a gunshot injury, or the emotional hardship that a family might have to go through?
The Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism set out to take a hard look at the parts of gun violence that we can put numbers on. Medical bills are a big part of the story, and so are the costs of legal battles, mental health services, and economic decline in violence-torn neighborhoods.
The result, a large tab for Wisconsin taxpayers. Here with us now to talk about what this investigation uncovered is Sean Kirkby. He's a reporting intern at the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism. Sean, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me on.
Well, a lot of intangibles, of course, with gun violence. It might seem hard to put numbers on it. In this report, you tried to put numbers on what there can be numbers put on. Where did you start?
Well, we started with looking at an individual case in Milwaukee with a man named Claudier Motley, who was shot about a year ago. And we were working on this with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and a production company in Milwaukee called 371 Productions and a few radio stations. And it's part of a project called Precious Lives, which is taking a look at the impact of gun violence on children in Milwaukee. And so the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel had talked with this person, Claudier Motley, and we started by taking a look at his medical bills, and we started taking a look at, you know, what sort of happened with this case and how, you know, the legal costs got involved, and what about the other, you know, quality of life impacts that he had.
So let's talk about those medical bills first, both for the victim in that shooting, and then the shooter himself was later shot in another attempted robbery, as I understand it. What, I guess I sort of vaguely think, oh, you're the victim of a crime, somebody's going to pick up the tab for you? Not necessarily, though.
Yeah. So Claudier was shot in the jaw and has required about 6 surgeries since then. Part of it's been covered by insurance. A lot of it's been out-of-pocket cost, about $80,000. And then the perpetrator was shot a few days earlier when he attempted to rob a person who had a concealed carry permit. And he was paralyzed from the waist down. And so there were, you know, significant costs involved with his case as well.
And there's a big public price tag all along the way on gun violence. Medical bills, a lot of times, Medicaid, Medicare might pick up the part of the tab. Emergency rooms might have to handle it because somebody comes in and can't pay for it. How much money ends up coming out from taxpayers just on treating the injury itself in gun violence?
So we looked at numbers that were available through the Department of Health Services, and about 60% of, I believe, inpatient hospitalizations are covered by Medicaid or Medicare, which are public insurance companies. And the report, which you can find WisconsinWatch.org, used some formulas that we got from the Wisconsin Hospital Association to put the cost at about $6 million for Wisconsin taxpayers. And that's for emergency room utilizations, inpatient hospitalizations, as well as doctor fees. It does not take into account the cost of long-term care in cases where you have someone who's paralyzed. It doesn't take into account the cost of mental health care, which can also be pricey.
Talking to Sean Kirkby from the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism about the cost, the financial cost of gun violence, of treatment of gunshot wounds, and beyond that, mental health, as he was just saying. Let's go beyond the direct medical costs, though. You also tried to figure out the economic impact on a community of being a place where gun violence happens.
Yeah, and that's very difficult to quantify because there's a lot of aspects to gun violence that you really can't put a cost aspect on. There was a report about a few years back that used 2010 crime data to estimate that in Milwaukee, a 10% reduction in homicide rates would result in an $800 increase in property values, which would have an impact on property taxes as well. But there are other costs, such as the investment that you have in school security systems. There were about 90% of school districts after the Sandy Hook Elementary shooting in 2012 said that they were trying to make some kind of security enhancements. And so there's a cost involved in that as well.
You also looked into the costs of emergency responders. Police responding to 911 calls or ShotSpotter there in Milwaukee, emergency medical staff, fire department. So what kind of costs rack up there?
So in Milwaukee, the average cost for medical transport is about $1,300. And there were about 250 or so medical transports last year for gunshot victims. So that was about $350,000 or so. There has been an investment in a ShotSpotter system, which allows police to pinpoint where gunshots happen in the city. And that was about $350,000, and that's about a $320,000 yearly tab as well. For the cost of investigations, it varies significantly from case to case. A lot of cases, they can't identify a suspect in some non-fatal shootings. And in other cases, they're able to find suspects as well.
Also an impact on jobs and the economy. A gunshot victim, harder to get a job, keep a job. You write about that in the victim you focused on in the story. Also, a high gun violence area, less likely that businesses are going to invest and start a business in that area.
Yeah, and fear plays a large role as well. And that's something that you can't really quantify, because when you look at stories such as, you know, Claudia Air Motley, who was shot on, you know, a Milwaukee street corner, you don't really know how people reading that are going to react, whether or not that would have an impact on, you know, tourism to Milwaukee. And it had an impact on Claudia Air Motley's business. He estimates it cost him about $50,000-$60,000 in terms of his own work.
And, of course, the worst case, there's a fatality. Somebody dies. We've seen what are about 140 gun or homicides in Milwaukee, not all gun violence there. That's something that it seems like you can't put a value on, and yet, of course, economists, insurance companies, and others do it. What's a human life worth as we assess the impact of violence?
So it's tricky. There have been some estimates that have put it about, you know, 6 million and between $9 million, I think, for the Department of Transportation. And a lot of that is based on risk reduction, how much people are willing to pay to lower the amount of risk of death, essentially. So if you have a community of about, you know, 100,000 people, they're each willing to pay about $100 to reduce that risk of death. You come up with a tab of about $10 million or so.
And that idea of risk reduction actually takes me to a big question here. You're not just collecting numbers for trivia purposes. People are looking to see these costs to see what it's worth investing to reduce this violence. So what kind of ways could people use the data that you and others have collected?
So one of the experts who talked with us for the report, which you can find WisconsinWatch.org, basically talked about that anything that you can do to reduce the homicide rate or the non-fatal shooting rate or violence in general will have eventually pay for itself in the end. And so there are a few proposals that are moving through the Capitol. There are some proposals that are not moving through the Capitol right now that could have an impact on, you know, reducing the amount of gun violence, such as establishing mandatory minimums for certain violent offenders who use guns. That was a proposal that I think has been enacted into law recently by Governor Scott Walker.
You also quoted, I think, a local legislator saying the solution here is to provide jobs, opportunity for people in the area so that they don't turn to violence. It almost seems like a chicken or the egg question. If you can reduce violence, you boost that opportunity. If you can boost opportunity, you might reduce violence.
Exactly. It's a very complex problem with a lot of different facets to sort of address and solve with it. One proposal that has been sort of put forward is also universal background checks, such as closing loopholes that's what proponents would say, for purchasing guns online to make sure that people are getting the background check. That proposal, though, it doesn't look like it'll move that far in the legislature since it's not supported by the Republican Party.
It seems like everybody agrees that there is benefit in reducing gun violence, but there's a lot of disagreement over the best way to do it. Do you, in your reporting and looking at what solutions people are offering, do you see anything that everybody's getting together on, say, yeah, that's one we can all buy into, that's something that might work?
Not necessarily. There was bipartisan support for the use of mandatory minimums, but there were some lawmakers who are concerned about that it's not the best way to sort of address that. People aren't necessarily going to do a cost benefit analysis before participating in a crime. There are also other sort of penalties that have bipartisan support, such as one that would apply not owning a firearm to people who commit certain misdemeanors that are violent.
And finally, you talk to some people in the health community who are trying to get us to think, whatever solutions we take, to get us to think of gun violence not just as a law and order issue, but as a public health issue. What kind of things did you hear from them?
Yeah, they're very adamant that this is a public health issue because one of the people that we spoke to works at the medical college, Dr. Stephen Hargarden, describes it as a biosocial disease, in the sense that the people who are shot end up in emergency rooms. They often end up being on Medicaid or Medicare programs, and they often face, you know, significant long-term disabilities as well. So it is a problem that has a lot of medical components to it.
All right, we'll leave it there for now. Sean, thanks a lot for joining us again.
Thank you for having me.
That's Sean Kirkby. He's a reporting intern at the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism. Been talking about his latest report. It's titled, After Guns, Wound, and Kill, the Bills Add Up for Victims and Society.